Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour with your hosts Zigzag and Rufus, coming to you live from planet Earth, courtesy of Smokin' Hits Records and Global Corp Industries. Now, grab a beer, put your feet up, and get ready for the Hyper Sloth Happy Hour!
Kaboom, big explosion.
Hello, hello!
How do?
Hey.
Party people. How do? Not too bad. How do you?
I do.
You do too?
I do.
That's what she said.
Jesus Christ. All right.
We're going to start that.
We're starting on a high note. We can only go down from here.
Literally. Literally a high note.
Hey.
That's hilarious. We were playing a rerun. A rerun started playing. I thought I was talking to Zigzag. Unfortunately, Zigzag, I don't think, is even on the show right now because he called me on Skype, but I'm not called in on Skype. I'm called in on my phone because Skype blows ass. So I want to hang up on that dude and call him back independently. That's pretty funny. I can't believe. Zigzag, if you can hear the show, you need to call in on your phone or Skype separately somehow. I called in as host on my phone. There's the man. See him now. There's a shiny face right there. You're not on the show, Double G. You need to call in as guest, bro. Or I can get out. You can call in as host. I see you talking, but I don't hear no words coming out your mouth. Tell you what, I'll spin a song until we get this figured out. God damn, you gotta love Blog Talk Radio. I got an email from a guy who's been using Blog Talk Radio for years recently, and it was a blog post of his that explained why he was leaving Blog Talk Radio and just doing a podcast on SoundCloud because Blog Talk Radio sucks. But tell you what, it's been Farmer Song. People love it.
Yeah. because a farming is my dream. Yeah, I am a farmer. That's what I do best. Farming is my pride, joy, my hopes, and my breath. Yeah, I am a farmer. That's what I do best. Farming is my pride, joy, my hopes, and my breath. I said,
that was Farmer
was
Song.
Was that Beer Suit or Farmer Song?
Was that Beer Suit or Farmer Song?
That was Farmer Song. Sorry about that.
That's right.
That's right.
I had a big delay coming from your
I
end.
I had a big delay made? Coming from your end. Was that
me? Like, I think that's made.
The stupid Skype bullshit.
There we go.
Sounds like some extra speaker is on or something.
Yeah, it was my webcam mic.
Well, you're looking awful rambunctious today, Rufus. What's the good word, my friend?
The good word is we're one day short of Friday, man, so I can't wait.
Friday the 13th, are you scared at all?
No, I'm not scared. Not a bit. I don't believe in that bullshit.
God, I hope nothing bad happens to you tomorrow.
Me too.
But I didn't know you were such a basketball fan. What was up with all your Facebook basketball stuff?
Well, I'm not really a fan per se. I'm a fan of athleticism. And so when I see something that it catches my interest, I totally get sucked into it. And me and my boy, we used to play basketball. Well, play basketball. We used to shoot hoops after picking him up from daycare. So he got all into it, and I got wrapped up in it too. And it was Texas teams, so of course. But I mean, when I see, like, guys playing football or basketball, I mean, the shit that they fucking pull off is amazing. I don't know who they are. I don't give a fuck about their cards or whatever. But the skill involved just blows my fucking mind every time I see it.
Now, did you read that thing about Jimmy the Greek that I sent to you?
I did. I skimmed it.
So you know the Jimmy the Greek story then?
No. He was racist?
Just slightly. Well, of course, with a name like the Greek. You know, honestly, to be honest with you, if you read the whole thing, no, I don't think he was racist.
I think
he just kind of was stating the facts. I mean, you know, it's not his fault that kind of stuff happened. I mean, I guarantee you, if you went, and I'm not racist anyway, if you went to Africa today and compared the average African man with a fucking African-American man, I think you're going to find a different type, probably, of person. Because, I mean, from what I see on TV, most African men are super skinny and, like, twig-like.
I mean, like I said, I only skim the article. I don't know. But honestly, I think a lot of, quote-unquote, racism in the world is bullshit. I think it's racist if you don't get a job because you're black or white. It's not racist to make observations about another race. You know, I mean,
well, I mean,
there were like 14 black guys and one white guy on the court at any given time. Is it racist for me to point that out?
What he got in trouble for saying was that back in the day, the slave, they were talking about the African-American dominance in professional sports. I mean, as a sportscaster,
sure,
that's his specialty, right? I mean, he was an odds maker. So he just said that, you know, it goes way back to the day when the slave owners used to pick the two strongest slaves and have a mate to make stronger children. And obviously it probably went on for however long slavery was in effect. I really don't know. How long was slavery in effect, Rufus? Any idea?
In the U.S.? I don't know.
Yes.
100 years, I guess.
So, I mean, you're talking... What? I have a great question for you. Answer me this. What is a fucking... How many years is a generation? 20 years?
I thought a... Man, that's a good question. I thought a generation was a lifespan, like the average lifespan of a group. So, like, me, my generation would be my birth to when I die at probably the age of 42.
So you're thinking a generation is 40 years?
Well,
I mean, then generations
Haley,
would get like
Haley
longer
generation.
Or shorter, wouldn't they? According to people's lifespans.
Right. I guess.
Call
I
in
know.
If you know how long a fucking generation is. 646-478-0616. It's very important.
I got to say something about what you just said about the guy saying that, okay, so guys got their strongest slaves to breed together. I mean, yeah, that's horrible, I guess, but I mean, given the time, they treated those people like cattle. I mean, just pointing
right.
that out should not be racist. That's a statement
Dude,
of fact, documented fact. Just saying it should not be a racist thing. Is it horrible? Yeah. Is it regrettable?
Well, I mean,
sure.
He didn't
but
do it.
Fucking happened.
Right.
That's
well,
he
was
didn't
saying
do
something
it.
About this that caused, I mean, he really knew what he was talking about because he said that caused the African-American males mostly to have like some superior kind of leg muscle.
Right.
That just kind of lends itself to shooting and running and jumping, right, which are all natural or all things that are very effective in sports.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's an observable fact. It shouldn't be racist to point that out.
I even hate to say this. From what I read in the article, Bill Cosby said that he should not be fired. He was fired the next day. Then if you went on to read the article, it was like, famous racist moments in sports history. And, like, it's what some guys were actually saying. Like, Howard Cosell said, look at that. He compared some guy and said, look at that little monkey run. Shit, like, Howard Cosell is legendary for his ability to drink vodka.
Now, okay, calling somebody a monkey, that might be racist. But, I mean, pointing out shit that happened in the past is not racist. I
right.
mean, history books do that, right? Are history
no,
books racist?
I mean, he basically was saying, no, it was not natural selection.
Of course not. It was artificial selection. You breed your stuff.
He said, what they boiled it down to was it sounded so evil, even though it's not the way he said it, but the way that it comes across in like headlines and shit is like, Jimmy the Greek says black people bred to be superior at sports or something.
Oh, like
you know?
The coaches are doing it. Like the modern day coaches are like.
Right. Or, yeah.
Grooming the college play.
Like you said, I mean, they're saying that like you're breeding like a horse. But back then, to a slave owner, that just makes common sense. If you're growing roses, that makes sense, right? To breed your like
exactly.
best rose with your best rose.
Right. I mean, obviously the context is wrong and horrible, but it fucking happened. So, I mean, you should be able to say shit that happened.
Right. And all he was saying, too, is that the white man would probably never be able to catch up in our lifetime to that level.
Probably not. And they also
because,
have another advantage in basketball, at least, is because, and I'll probably sound racist, but I mean, a lot of black people grow up in the inner city where they don't have big football fields or soccer fields. They have basketball courts. And so that's what they do all fucking day. You know, I played Super Mario Brothers all day. I was really good at it, but I bet if I'd been in the inner city, I'd be really good at basketball. The show's about to get canceled.
Well, I mean, it's like anything. The more you practice, the better you're going to be at it. That's what I try to tell my daughter about drums every fucking day, which makes her absolutely hate to want to practice.
How is she doing on drums?
pretty damn good, dude. She's good. She's learning stuff on drums. I mean, I know for a fact I know nothing about drums, okay? Uh-huh. And I'll admit it. I mean, drums are confusing to me. But she, like, plays shit. And she's only been taking lessons for, like, 4 or 5 months. But she'll play shit, like, a backbeat and stuff that is in a shuffle that is, like, legitimate fucking drum beats that you could play a guitar to.
Really? Well, okay. Well, I'm dead serious when I say this. Why don't we have her lay down a drum track for one of our songs?
You know what? We will do that. We will do that. She loves to come into the studio, actually, and fuck around. So I think that's a great idea.
Is there a style that she prefers the best? Or I'm working on a song right
she's,
now.
She's
I
not.
Totally do the drums.
She doesn't
thrilled.
Really have. Let's say that we could probably do some ZZ Top to her. That's about how rudimentary the drum beat is.
That's perfect.
You know, it's easily could be adjusted to do anything, basically.
All you need is a boom chick. If she can maintain a boom chick.
And the good news is we only need like 10 seconds of it, then we can just loop it.
Exactly.
Because I don't think she's in the right mental state to play for 2.5 minutes without screwing up one time.
Well, we could do this. Just have her play like 2 beats. One for a verse, one for a chorus,
do that.
And we'll just take chunks of it, and we'll make a whole song out of it. That'd be awesome.
We should definitely do that, and you should have Levi do something on the guitar, just like
oh,
even if it's one or two notes that we could repeat.
He can do one note.
One note with a bendy thing is good. One note bendy is always good.
He might bend it
bendy.
Accidentally.
A bendy is like the auto-tune of the guitar world. You just keep bending
right.
it until you hear it ring in. There it is.
that's pretty good.
Bendies, they can make you sound like a much better guitar player than you really have to be. If you can find the right B-flat bendy.
I think most blues players don't know how to play shit. They just bend it until they're like,
right.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you find that one note and just keep fucking bending it and hammer on and hammer off. You're like a fucking genius.
And that's why they all look like they're taking a massive shit because they're less terrified. They're racked with fear.
They lose. Oh, if they go one fret up or one fret down, it ruins the whole fucking song.
That's right. Well, luckily they have a good backing band that'll just change the key.
Sort of, unfortunately, kind of like Graham's Choice did to our Blue Bonnet gig.
Graham's
from
Choice.
From what I'm watching on the video.
Why? What happened? What did they do? I only saw a short clip.
Just,
what happened?
You never got to see the clip?
I saw the clip of the gig, but it was just
right.
a clip. I didn't see Graham's Choice or the
Choice.
Well,
they were sitting up there with us. They were up there with us.
Oh, well, the video quality was, it was like the size of a postage stamp and like
right.
4 pixels.
I know. I just had to send it to you because I was all excited that we actually had footage. How many bands can say that from 95? Probably a few. Not like
we
it
owned,
is now, though. You know what I mean? Now, anybody, you could get a video of a band. It's not even a pain in the ass. Back then, you had to deal with like tape and shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, every practice room or club has a closed-circuit TV fucking camera pointed at you.
Make sure you don't walk out with any of the goods. But, yeah, Graham's Choice, let's just say the keyboard from the part that I watched was turned up just a little too loud. And he was a little lost at times.
Really?
Yeah. Actually, you know what's crazy? Those guys were pretty tight, usually. Maybe it was the stadium that got to them.
Well, didn't each one of those guys play like 5 instruments at the same time?
Yes. Well, not when they were playing with us, but that was their gimmick, so to speak. Unfortunately, they didn't play any of them good. And you can play as many instruments as you want, but if you can't play any of them good, what's the use?
I didn't remember that they actually played with us. Wow. I feel like I've lost
you
a whole segment
that?
Of my life.
You were knee deep in some Bush Light back then, my friend.
Yeah, I was.
Maybe the video will bring back some memories.
My tolerance was too short for the tall boys.
Just you were an inch taller. 1 inch.
That's all it would take, just that Added blood flow.
But Wardlow asked me, he said, is that old Joe back there in the background? You should see the video of Joe. It's so fucking comical. I love it.
Is he cooking something?
I think that they might have, Charlie Brown might have been, like, reborn into Joe.
I think Charlie Brown would beat up Joe.
I don't know if it's just me. I fucking hate Charlie Brown. I want to punch Charlie Brown in the face.
He is pathetic.
Is Charlie Brown supposed to be like something you're like, don't be like Charlie Brown to like little kids when you read it? You're like, don't be a fucking doofus like Charlie Brown, but I guess he loves his dog. His dog is cool.
I think it's supposed to assume that every kid thinks they're Charlie Brown, but they want to be Snoopy.
Right. So they, like, Charlie Brown is their way to get to Snoopy. Like Richie Cunningham
from
the Fonz.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So Charlie Brown's always the loser dipshit who can't even kick a fucking football, but Snoopy's the guy who's, like, flying World War One dog fights in the sky on his fucking doghouse, and he's Joe Cool, too.
What more do you need? Joe Cool, I mean, maybe... I bet that Snoopy was the roadmap for Fonzie. I think that now that I'm thinking about it, that whole show, Happy Days, is written as a modern-day Snoopy take.
Might be. Richie Cunningham is Charlie Brown.
Right.
The Fonz is Snoopy. What's-her-face? The Broad is Lucy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ralph Malph is Linus.
If you took the parents, I guarantee, if you took the parents on that show, what were they, whatever the Richie parents were, the Cunningham, and you replaced all their dialogue with,
what it was anyways.
It'd be like a Peanuts episode. Yeah, that's right.
I think we're on to something. I think we uncovered something here, Rufus.
I think we are.
Again, it's all been a conspiracy to rule our minds through metaphors from the... How old is Charlie Brown? I mean, how back does that guy go?
Jesus Christ, that's got to go back to the 40s or 50s, right?
Probably longer than that.
Back to the 20s or 30s, you think?
I don't know. What was Charles Schulz? How old? He lived to be pretty old, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Of course, we have the internet at our fingertips, but let's see here.
Call us up if you know how old Charles Schulz was or when the first Peanuts episode came out. 646-478-646.
October 2nd, 1950.
So it definitely predates Happy Days.
Yeah. Happy Days came on in, what, the 70s? But it was about the 50s, which is
right. Interesting.
Tricky.
I was
Very
thinking
clever.
That the other day. When is it okay to go back? When is it okay to start? Why doesn't someone make a new show about the 50s? Has it just been too long since the 50s, so people are like, fuck it, just too long ago?
I think so. You know what's sad and depressing? Have you seen the show The Goldbergs?
Yes, I have, and I enjoy that show.
I saw it for the first time last night, and I loved it. But it's like a retro show about when I grew up, so it made me feel really fucking old.
Yeah, that's why. You know what's funny that you say that? Because it was that Goldberg show that I watched a few weeks ago that made me think, when is it okay to consider something like that funny and nostalgic instead of just like trying to, I don't know, too soon?
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, it's got to be happening now or it's got to be happening 125 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. I've also wondered, like, when is it, like, okay, or what is the statute of limitations on covering a song? Because I hear songs being covered now that I grew up listening to, and that also makes me feel fucking ancient. But then I listened to, like, Aerosmith covered the Beatles song. What was that Beatles song Aerosmith covered? And in reality, they only covered it, like, 15 years after the Beatles wrote it. It was a... Oh, he's got feet down below his knees. Come together right now over me.
Yeah, that was me getting live with some Come Together. I was, I think I was taken over by John Lennon at that moment. I think you can hear it. You can definitely hear it. So, I mean, yeah, I wonder when it is too soon to. So tell me what you liked about the Goldberg.
Well, I've only seen one episode, but I loved it. Of course, I liked all the references to shit I grew up with and the
like
stupid
Transformers?
Fashion. Transformers, the Indiana Jones posters and shit like that. And I thought it was good, well written. I mean, as sitcoms, as network sitcoms go, it was pretty well written and well done. It was funny.
It is, actually. I guess it's probably because I think it's funny because I could relate to it like you could. Maybe someone who grew up in the... Are they making TV shows for us? Or we are that old, dude. They're actually making shows. We're the higher end of the demographic now.
So
we're like getting up to the end of the demographic. 25
Did you notice the
commercial? I'm guessing that no 25-year-old dude is going to watch that show and fucking be entertained by it. They'd be like, how fucking stupid is that?
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? I don't relate to that
stupid
shit.
During the Goldbergs? The commercials we're playing during the Goldbergs were like AARP, investment retirement funds, fucking
hair loss,
you know, adult diapers.
Hair
yeah, that's our
men.
Demo. Hair
oh
club for
God.
Men, Russian brides.
I'd say kill me now, but I'm actually enjoying living right now. Talk to
really?
Me in 6 months.
Oh.
I know. Ask
like.
Me in 6 months. Might be a whole different fucking take on things.
That's how that attitude with me changes from day to day.
Right. It only takes one phone call or email to change that fucking attitude from live to let it die.
That's right.
At least that's how my day goes usually. And so, somehow it always ends, the day always ends on a let die note.
That's true.
I was telling my wife last night, I'm like, I'm just fucking surrounded by too much fucking negativity. Really? No one I meet is like a positive person anymore. Where are the positive people, Rufus? Call in our show if you're a positive person.
Did your wife feel insulted by that?
Probably.
Probably.
But, I mean, I don't
whatever.
Say, I don't want to say maybe I was trying to get a point across. You know what I mean? I'm not saying my wife. I'm saying everything is fucking negative. Negativity just fucking pervades society.
Yes, this is true.
And, you know, it is. We're just slaves. I mean, really, at the end of the day.
We are. We are indeed.
But, I prefer to be a happy slave, but I find that it is true. If you surround yourself with negativity, you just get negative. It's just easy to turn dark quickly.
It is. That's what she said.
Is it? And she never went back
mm-hmm.
after she turned dark quickly.
Those new sunglasses you have on?
No. These are a show pair. They're men's sunglasses, so. And you know what? Did I tell you? I stepped and
so
broke
on
my fucking my rhinestone sunglasses.
Oh, no. Did you get rhinestones
in
your foot?
Here's one of those stories, too. It's a classic story where I know that they fell on the ground, and I'm like, I will pick those up in a minute, right? I did not pick them up in a minute, nor did I pick them up in the next 48 hours. Then when I came back and I just stepped on them because they were somewhere where I normally don't stand, and of course they broke right in half.
That's so true. You step on them, you don't pick them up, so then you step on them again.
Right.
That's fucking
life,
man.
It was inevitable. The moment I did not pick those up immediately, I was destined to fucking break them by stepping on them.
You should have just gone ahead and stepped on them again immediately.
Here's the funny thing is, right when I heard him break, I knew, I said to myself, you should have picked him up right then.
Yeah.
Wow. How are the horses, Rufus? Tell me about the horses today.
They seem to be in good spirits, but goddamn, it's been raining non-fucking stop. We had one day of sunshine, and now it's starting to rain. We're under a flood watch, and these poor horses just sit out in the fucking mud and muck. But they don't really complain.
Well, is it still cold there? Are you talking like 50 degrees and shit?
No, it's not cold. Yesterday it was almost broke a sweat. It was like in the 70s. Today it was a little
really?
Cooler. It was about 50 or 60, yeah.
Well, good deal. So that's not too bad for them. They can go in the shelter, right? Anyways.
Yeah, but they don't. They're fucking dumb. They just hang out getting rained on and muddy.
Yeah. You know what? It's good that you got two of them, though. None of the dogs have not been kicked like 40 feet or anything by the horses?
And not yet, but boy, I can see it coming because those dogs, man, they love fucking with those horses. I think the horses like it too, though, from what I've seen, yeah.
I mean, in a weird way, a horse is just kind of like an overgrown dog.
One of my dogs is so big, he's like an undergrown horse.
There you go. See? It is. And they're all just evolved from dolphins, right?
Yes, they did. That's right. In fact, we bought these as dolphins. And
I think
them into
they
horses.
Kind of proved that. Did they not kind of prove that?
They did. It's in a museum. I saw it on TV.
Right.
It was a
so
dolphin
you know
skeleton.
It's real.
It was a horse skull on it.
That's sort of like the, what's that, the creature of
skeleton.
Lore. The creature of lore.
A dolphin skeleton with a saddle on it.
A jackalope with a saddle.
Yeah.
And a genital piercing.
That reminds me of an episode of The Simpsons where they're at some stupid, like, fair, Renaissance fair thing. And they go into one tent, supposed to be like a freak show tent. And the fucking cop guy, whatever his name is like, behold, the Asterix. It's got the head of a rabbit and the body of a rabbit. And it was just a rabbit.
I could see that where people would fall for that. They were such simpletons. And, yeah, you know, Sam Simon just died. Did you see that?
Sam Simon, who's that?
The guy who did The Simpsons. The guy who put together
yeah,
The Simpsons.
Yeah, the co-creator guy.
Right.
Yeah, he had cancer. He was pretty young, too. What, 60?
Yeah, he was
59?
50. Yeah, yes. Scary
Jesus.
Thought, huh? Scary thought. I know I saw an interview with him a long time ago. He was a real animal rights dude, and I was like, that guy's all right in my book.
I think I remember seeing something about that, yeah.
I heard him argue with Ted Nugent, too, about hunting. And I'll tell you what, man,
really?
He gave fucking Ted the what for. And Ted, you know, obviously just shut down. I mean, that's what Ted does when he's confronted with someone who, quote-unquote, is just as passionate about Ted, about killing, letting animals live as Ted is about killing them.
Dude, I would love to see that interview.
It was actually on Howard Stern.
Really? Wow.
So if you ever get a chance to listen to that, that was very interesting.
I'll look it up.
So tomorrow's Friday. Why, big plans for the weekend?
No. It's going to be raining and flooding, so no.
So have you started up Cookie Monster?
Well, no. It hasn't been enough sun to make the grass grow.
I don't mean to. I just mean for putzing around the back 40.
No, we did have a big tree cut down because it was basically dying and we didn't want it falling on the house. And the guys who cut it down, they didn't haul it anywhere. They just cut it into gigantic fucking chunks that I can't do anything with. So I'm going to have to break out Cookie Monster to haul it somewhere.
How big are they? You think Cookie Monster will be able to haul it?
Well, some are big. I took some of them that were pretty big, and I actually made like a little decorative fence that you could put some potted cactuses on or something. And then some of them would make good seats around the fire pit, so I'm going to roll those over there. But then
right.
there's like a chunk of tree trunk that's about 8 feet fucking long and huge that I'm just going to have to, I don't know, burn where it is or drag it somewhere.
Yeah, you know what? That's what the best thing to do with a big-ass one like that, and it takes forever, though, is fucking burn it where it's at.
Yeah.
Or at least burn it in half and try to fuck with it if you can't get a chainsaw through it.
No,
I went
big.
Away for
it's big.
I went away for vacation a couple of years ago, and you know I'm surrounded by woods at my house, and I have neighbors and stuff, but I've got like woods with big trees on it. And while I was on vacation, of course, a fucking tree fell, big ass fucking tree, one that you couldn't put your arms around. It'd take like three people to put their arms around it, or two people try to put their arms around it, and it fell onto my neighbor's driveway. Okay. So while I'm gone for 2 weeks. They never called us or anything. They cut it all up and stack it in the woods over on their side of the property where I can't even see it. And then the lady comes to me like 2 years later. I never even noticed this fucking tree fell down. You know, I never had an inkling. You know, I mean, yes, it was a big tree, but we had a lot of big trees. So she comes to me one day like, you know, Ron helped me cut that tree up. And, you know, I don't even really talk to this neighbor lady. I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
She's like, Ron helped me cut that tree, and he was hoping you could give him some money for it. This is like 2 years after this fucking thing happened. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And she's like, well, you know, your tree fell. And it fell into our yard, and it didn't hit anything or whatever. I guess it missed their car by like fucking 6 inches.
Oh, my God.
So she's coming to me like 2 years later asking if I could give her ex-son-in-law $200 for cutting up the tree, but I could make the check out to her.
How convenient. How convenient.
Yeah. So needless to say, to take care of everything, I just did that, just that, because I'm like, I don't need my fucking neighbors having hard feelings or whatever, but I do think it's bullshit. Because my neighbor Doyle then told me that he helped him. My neighbor Doyle, the guy across the street who I do talk to, is like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. Yeah, I helped him. We spent a whole day cutting that tree up and whatever. So
you should have told him to go get his cut from the lady. Like, you owe me $75.
Right. So I have to, so then I'm obligated to get him a $50 gift certificate to fucking Red Lobster because now I gave the other lady fucking cash.
Did you really give him a gift certificate to Red Lobster?
I did.
That's an awesome story.
Then she wanted me to move all this wood, Rufus, and it's this huge fucking pile of wood, dude. I mean, like a car's worth of wood. Not like split, not like you could use it, just cut into hunks like you're talking about. So they go on vacation, right? And I'm like, I'll have that moved by the time you get back. And it's on my property, right? But it's against their property line. So I just fucking, while they were gone for a week, I had a fire, like a huge fucking raging fire every night. Like, so huge, I had, like, two hoses out there and shit. I'm like, I'm not moving this fucking wood. So I burned it. They came back, and they had to live with a bald spot in their little wooded area for a year, and now we're all good. And I'm up $200, $250.
That's a great story, man. That should be in the Hypersloth movie script somehow.
I mean, wouldn't you think that they would tell me if a fucking tree fell down? She said she put a note in the mailbox, and my wife said she never got it. I'm sure she would have told
me. 2 years later, 2 years later, come on, she got hard up for cash for some reason. She was like,
"Yeah,
where can I get the money? Oh, yeah, that tree from 2 years ago."
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, dude, that's how it is. And you know what's crazy? I live in a nice neighborhood, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess you need crack money. Well, come to find out then, this lady lived alone since we moved in this house in 2006, right? And then like a year ago, some dude starts living there with her, right?
Oh,
and
really?
Come to find out, it was her husband who she'd been estranged from for like 8 fucking years. I didn't even know she was ever married or anything.
Wow.
And he moves back in with her, and our neighbor lady's telling us that they got a divorce because Dale was having sex with some lady at work and got his nipples pierced. And shit. This is like the most normal-looking dude you've ever seen in your fucking life.
No shit. Wow.
Got his nipples pierced for some chick that he was dating, and our neighbor knows this for some reason.
Wow.
So
dude,
now he's actually
nice guy, but
every time I see him, all I can think about is his nipple piercings.
Does he wear a tight shirt? You see the rain pressing
like,
through the tight shirt?
He's like a out-of-shape 60-year-old man.
Oh, yeah. I can envision that with nipple piercings.
Yeah,
God.
Yes. Now picture him mowing his yard. It's not a good thing.
No. Wow.
So let's hope
Man,
I don't have any trees fall down this summer. So I'm just going to take all the trees off my property and cut them all down. So, one,
yeah,
I don't have
to
clean up leaves. And, two, I don't ever have to worry about my neighbors.
You just pay your neighbor $200 per tree to do it.
What sucks is, like, why didn't I would have wanted the – would have been perfect, dude, if that tree would have fell on my house while I was on vacation. That's a fucking – You can't make that up. You can't make that happen. The insurance company would have to pay.
Yeah, that's true.
It'd be just dumb luck that I wasn't home. They'd be like, you must have known it was going to happen. You weren't home on purpose when that huge tree fell on your house.
Right.
We're not paying.
Fucking wreck it. What you drinking
that's
there? Is that LaCroix?
It is. This is just straight up agua. LaCroix aqua.
Straight up.
Looks like you're having
Bud
Lights tonight.
Yeah, you're being a fucking health nut.
I wouldn't say health nut. This weed that I smoked has me really fucking thirsty, though. Not going to lie about that. I think I've drank this whole bottle in like the last 35 seconds.
Cool. Yes, I am enjoying some Bud Light. You know what I've been thinking about? And maybe I mentioned this on the last show, but I've been really thinking about brewing my own beer.
You should. You should try it. I tried it.
Do you remember back in Roehampton, my mom bought me a Mr. Beer kit, and we never fucking used it.
We did try to use it.
Did we?
Yes,
well,
we did try to use it.
I don't remember it.
Because it didn't come out good at all. It was totally fucking horrible.
Ah, we were just too high and already drunk.
The problem with it was it didn't get fizzy. It wasn't like fizzy like you need. But you know what, though? We might have been very impatient.
I think so, because it takes like 6 weeks for that shit to fucking brew. We probably waited 48 hours at most.
But when you make regular beer, it doesn't take 6 weeks, does it? Or does it? Or does it? How many times can I say that sometimes? That's why, you know what? You know what you should do? Fuck, dude, do like a home whiskey run or something. Or like a moonshiner deal. You get the fucking liquor like 12 hours later.
But you can't buy that in a kit online, can you?
Yeah,
you can.
Yeah, you can.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that some people are starting to do it at home.
I don't drink hard liquor, though.
So? Sell it. You're in Arkansas, brother. You're in a dry county in Arkansas. You're the Duke of Hazzard waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now I just need a bow and arrow with dynamite on it and a fast car.
Yep, and a beagle. Oh, wait, the beagle was the cops, wasn't it?
Yes.
Get your wife out there in her Daisy Dukes.
Maybe 4 years ago.
Unfortunately, dude, it's probably going to be like you're going to be Pa, and Levi will be, you're going to be, what's the old man's name? What was his name? Jesse.
Uncle Jesse.
You're going to be Uncle Jesse, and Levi will be, he'll be one of the Dukes brothers.
He'll be Bo or
Luke. Well, he's got dark hair. Yeah, he'd probably be Bo. Or wait, is Bo the blonde-haired guy?
Yeah, Bo's the blonde. Yeah, he'll be Luke.
Luke was always cooler anyways.
I don't know. It's partial to Bo.
Sounds like you got some memories flooding in. I got to say, looking at that Bud Light label makes me think that it's due for Bud Light to come up with a label change. I think they're a little overdue.
The only time they ever changed is during the Super Bowl, and they put a football on it. Other than that, I don't think it's changed in 48 years.
No, it used to be way different.
Did it really?
Yeah, definitely. Maybe it's the blue can I don't like anymore. But, you know, blue cans are good because then when you're driving down the street, it looks like a Pepsi can.
I just say bucket and drink it.
No, I was just saying.
Makes my wife really nervous.
What, when you're driving and drinking?
Well, yeah, because I don't hide it or try to conceal it.
I know, dude. I'm guilty of the same. I had convinced myself that it was legal, I think, just by doing it so often.
That's right. I've never gotten caught, so it must be legal.
Right, exactly. I know that I've been seen, but what's the closest you've ever come to getting caught with a beer, drinking, and driving?
It was at a party at my brother's house, which was like a Roehampton house in college. It was my brother and like 14 other dudes. And we were all shit-faced. It was some party late at night, and they had like kegs, and we were drunk as shit. And one guy said, I need somebody to take me home. And I said, well, I'll take you home. I didn't even know the guy. And for some reason, I ended up taking my brother's Mustang. And so I gave this guy a ride home in my brother's Mustang in San Marcos, which I'd never really been in before. And on the way back to the party, I got lost. And a cop pulled me over. I took a dead-end road and was trying to turn around, and a cop pulled up. Woo! And he pulled up, and we were like side by side. You know how you pass somebody on a road? We were like that.
Right.
And he just rolled down his window, and I rolled down mine, and I was totally shit-faced. If he had been able to smell me, he would have known it. And he said, it's kind of late. It looks like you're lost, son. And I said, well, yeah, I am, officer. I've never been in this town before, and I'm trying to get back to my brother's house. He lives on blah, blah, blah. And he said, oh, yeah, just go up there and take a right. And I did it. But I was literally, like, on the verge of passed out fucking drunk. So.
Oh, my. Rufus, Rufus. With a beer in the car.
I'm going to say probably, most likely. I don't remember. I woke up on the couch in the garage the next day at about 1 and drove home. There was probably at least one beer.
I was leaving the airport, actually. But it's a long story. I was taking member Tim Klingel, my friend Tim.
Yeah,
he spent some time at Roehampton.
Yep, yep.
But when we lived in, before I met you, we lived in over off of Eastside by St. Edwards in a duplex. And I had to take him to the airport. He was going to visit his girlfriend or whoever the fuck at the time. So we wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning and go to the airport. But, of course, we have, like, 8 beers first. We have 8. We drink beer while he's getting packed and everything. Then we get in the car and drive to the airport. And his flight is delayed. And we're drinking beer in the car on the way to the airport. So his flight is delayed. So we get to the airport, and I sit in the airport bar and drink for, like, 3 more hours with him. This is in the Austin airport before it was at Bergstrom.
I remember that place.
Remember, it was over on the east side of town.
Yeah.
And so
Airport Boulevard.
I had that old VW van, and there was a perfect spot where the seatbelt was, because seatbelts weren't, you didn't have to wear a seatbelt then, or did you? I have no idea. Maybe you did. But in that VW van, where the seatbelt thing was a perfect place to put a beer, right? Like a can or bottle of beer fit, like, perfectly snug right there. Basically like a built-in koozie. So I'm leaving the airport drunk out of my mind. It's probably 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I could easily blow like a 0.4 or something, I'm sure. So
yes.
I'm driving out of the airport, and I guess I'm speeding. I don't even know it, but and I've got this beer next to me that I took a drink out of this beer that had been sitting there for 3 hours, like right before I started driving, and
I get pulled
over by a cop, right? And he comes up. On this side, on the driver's side of me, right? And he's like, you know why I pulled you over? And I'm like, oh, no, I have no idea. I mean, honestly, I really didn't. He's like, you were speeding. I'm like, uh-oh. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, no. So I'm like,
uh-oh.
I'm basically figuring this guy has got, I'm drunk as shit. I know he could smell it, right? I was practically in my pajamas because when we started drinking, I was still in my sport pants from the night before.
sport pants.
So I don't know how this guy did not see this fucking beer sitting there. And there's like a six pack, like right behind my seat. But I did not get it. I just got a speeding ticket for.
Oh my god!
And you know, I don't know how he didn't see it, dude. I really don't. To this day, I have to ask myself. And Pitsky got me out of going to jail for sure one time in Austin.
Pitsky, really?
Oh yeah. I was driving my VW van. Obviously, the VW van had some issues, but it had a taillight out, and I'm going down 35 and B Caves. You know where B Caves is?
Oh, yeah.
Long and windy B Caves. I just got in a fight with my girlfriend and dropped her off at her house. We've been drinking at Shady Grove before that for about 8.5 hours. We pulled a shift
at
Shady Grove. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm driving home. And this cop saw me all the way through B Caves. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I know I have a taillight out, so I'm riding my brakes, right, all the way through fucking A Caves Road. And
right.
I get on 35, and finally this cop decides to pull me over. And I lived on Barton Springs Drive at the time, so it really wasn't that far away. And he pulls me over and says, you know why I pulled you over? That must be like a typical cop question, you know why I pulled you over.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, you got a taillight out. And I said, yeah, that's why I was riding my brakes when you were behind me. Right? So I'm drunk, got a taillight out. There is, like, probably 3 ounces of pot in the fucking car somewhere, I'm sure, at that point. And actually, it was wrapped up in a McDonald's bag in the back, made to look like garbage. But,
smart. Man, brilliant.
So Pitsky starts barking at him, right? And I'm like, oh, he's just a pup. You know, I'm out on the – dude, I'm on 35 on the side of the road, right, pulled over by a cop. And I'm more worried that Pitsky's going to jump out of the car and fucking take off down 35 or whatever. You know, he was a rambunctious dog, to say the least. And this cop's like – the cop didn't want to deal with Pitsky, so he's like, okay, are you close to home, right? He asked me if I was drinking the whole 9 yards. I'm like, yeah. I was drinking. I mean, I'm not – it doesn't make sense to lie to a cop at that point.
No,
you know what I mean?
That's true.
I'm like, I'm worried about my dog if I get a DUI, whatever. You know, he's like, well, you know what? Since you got your dog here, he's like, you promised me you're going to go right home? I'm like, yes, sir. I'll go right home. Fucking guy, let me go with a ticket for the light out, but let me go home. He drove by my house like 40 minutes later. I was looking outside. And sure enough, he was cruising my neighborhood looking to see if I was home. Damn, dude, that was pretty fucking close.
That cop has a dog that he loves. That's why he lets you go. He's like, I get it. I know you want to get your dog home and not have him jump out of here and get run over by a car.
Well, and you know, I think, too, just the honesty. I wasn't fucking insulting his intelligence. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, I've been drinking.
Too.
You know, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not going to insult his intelligence when I know I've fucking been drinking for 10 hours and I've only been up for 11.
Yes. Very wise.
Happens. Happens, though, right, Rufus? That's what weekends are called.
Yeah, it does happen. I don't have that kind of time now. So I drink the amount of 10 hours in about one.
There you go. It's just as good for you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know who invented the 40-hour work week? This is something I learned recently.
Oh, let's have it.
Henry Ford.
Really?
Yeah,
fucking
he did.
Bastard.
He invented the 40-hour work week. Really, man, that guy was like the Google of the early 1900s, I guess.
This
just the
true.
Kind of shit that he financed and put together.
Yes. Henry Ford was the Google of the turn of the century, I guess.
I mean, that's what it seems like by watching all that PBS crap. Of course, now, like we were saying last week, though, PBS has on a fundraiser, so I'm not getting a PBS fix this week.
Have you? But you've heard all about the source, and you've been self-helped into oblivion, I'm sure, by the guy.
Yes, I'm okay, I guess. I'm okay, you're okay, or whatever that book was from the 70s. Wasn't that a book?
Yes, it was. I've noticed that guy, he always does the, he holds his, this is going to be so obscure, but I don't know why I noticed this. He holds his hand like that when he's making a point. He
really?
He puts his thumb on his ring finger. And
yeah,
I don't
like
know if that's some psychological trick that he's learned to convince you that he knows what the fuck he's talking about.
I think that's a West Side Crips gang sign.
Yeah, he's like 80.
Well, dude, somebody had to invent gang signs. And the Crips, in general. You know, I was watching PBS. Have you ever seen any of those programs on the Death with Dignity type shit? I don't even know how... I don't know how letting human euthanasia could be illegal. I don't know how that can be right, to not just let someone die with dignity. How is that even an argument?
I don't know. You know, it's funny. I read a post on Reddit the other day. It was an Ask Reddit, so it was basically just an open question to the Reddit community to get opinions. And somebody said, why is it that when my dog is sick and dying and suffering, I can have him put down, but if I am, or somebody that I love, is in obvious fucking physical, mental, emotional misery, I've got to let them string out until they just fucking deteriorate until they take the last breath. Can't be like, yeah, I've got fucking cancer AIDS and I'm
right.
in horrible fucking pain. Kill me, please. You can't do that. And
no, you're not allowed.
I don't get that.
You can't make your own decision on your own life. I mean.
Right. And that's the one thing. The one thing you truly fucking own is your own existence.
Right.
And you have no fucking decision power over it.
They'd rather see you in constant pain. I mean, that, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. And you'd think that at least if a human being, maybe a dog or a cat doesn't want to die, but it can't say to you, I don't want to die, right? So they're like,
right.
Well, okay, so it's okay to kill it. But if a human being says to you, I want to die, you're like, no fucking way.
Yeah, and I think, I guess that's where the waters get a little muddied, is like, if it's not me, like if I'm dying of cancer AIDS and I'm fucking obliterated, I'd be like, kill me now, please. I'm fucking done. But I guess when it's like your aunt or grandma, she can't even speak, then that's where the legality comes in, and they're like, well, you can't speak for her, even though she's a fucking vegetable, so we can't let you. But isn't there power of attorney? You should get power of attorney. I'm going to give my 6-year-old power of attorney to have me killed if I get sad.
Wait till he grows up a little bit. I don't know if 6 is the right age for that. You might step on his army man and break it, and he's making a fucking life and death decision for you the next day.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're getting mad at me for beating him at Super Mario Brothers. Next thing I know, I'm getting a lethal injection.
Dad told me I couldn't have that candy bar. No, we don't want him. No, do not resuscitate. This is my dad's do not resuscitate order.
That's right.
He gave me power of attorney. I can just see him carrying around the power of attorney in like a little briefcase no matter where you go, ready to commit you at any time.
It would just be a scribble on a piece of notebook paper in his Batman backpack.
He'd be like, break it out in a special little carrier. Probably so no fingerprints get on it, or no pop, no peanut butter and jelly. Yeah, you should definitely give your 6-year-old. I dare you to get on Reddit and post something like, I just gave my 6-year-old power of attorney over me. See what people's fucking reaction is.
That's right. No, wait, I should go on, what's that fucking legal leg? LegalZoom.com?
Oh, yeah.
And go ahead and actually do it.
We should go to answers.com, or you know, where they like have a professional that just like you and do the whole thing over the internet and see what this guy says for $25.
Dude, you should totally do that. Just be like, I was really drunk and stoned, and I gave my 6-year-old power of attorney over my fucking life, and now he's pissed and wants to kill me. What are my resources? How do I get out?
Now he's taken over my bank account and locked me out of my own house.
He had the locks changed. They're made out of Lego, but I still can't figure out how to fucking work them.
No, he fucking had you evicted from your own house using your power of attorney.
That's right. Jesus Christ. He's maxed out my credit card in Chuck E.
Right,
Cheese.
Yes. Got everything rolling. Yes. He's moved in like 3 8-year-old chicks into your house. Got you and your wife living out in the garage.
3 8-year-old chicks. That's hilarious.
He surrounded himself with 8-year-olds. Watch out.
Older women.
All because you got drunk and gave him power of attorney. You deserved
it. That's right.
What if it turned out to be a good thing? I mean, you never know.
He
wouldn't let you get your hands
on
your cash to gamble it away.
You know, he'd take over my life. He'd force me to play video games and watch movies all day, and I'd be like, okay, that's all right.
See? And you wouldn't, and you're still letting him win at Connect Four.
Yeah. I let him win one out of 10 times. Otherwise, I'd kick his ass.
God. I can't imagine. If I have to let my daughter win if I don't want her to be, like, totally mad at me. I'm trying to teach
really?
Her, but I'm weak. I am very weak when it comes to my daughter. Extremely weak.
Well, that's the problem with a daughter, man.
Yes.
They're too sweet. With a boy, you can be like, I give my kid an elbow to the face every day. But with a daughter,
yeah.
I'd be like, aw. Yes, you can
come
win.
Here and let me give you, let me, come here and let me give you elbow to the ribs.
Right.
I'll tell you what. One time when she was little, she like almost did something and like really like could have hurt herself. So I like slapped her hand. I didn't really slap it that hard, but I slapped her hand and she cried. And I was to myself, I was like, never again, never again will you ever make her cry ever.
That's weird.
That has not been true. I've made her cry many times by saying no. I don't like it, though. I punish my. I go in a closet and cut myself afterwards.
Is that right? Is that right? You don't, like, cut her name into your arm, do you?
I do. I cut whatever I didn't buy. I had to cut, Malibu Barbie into my arm for saying no to her for not getting her a Malibu Barbie.
Wow. That is the best Barbie.
It is. She's got a rack. She's got a rack, let me tell you. Did I ever tell you about when I was a kid, I got in trouble for me and my buddy Andy. My sister had like the Barbie dream house and all that shit and a bunch of Barbies. And we made it up. We put a sign up and made it. This is when the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas just came out on video. Remember that gem of a movie?
Oh, yes.
So we made it. We turned
and,
it into, yes, Dolly Parton, Burt Reynolds. Yep. Classic. That's a combination for the ages right there. They worked well together, no doubt about that.
It is. Yeah. That was the Iliad of the 80s.
But we made her Barbie dream house the best little whorehouse in Elkhart. And
oh
we had,
God.
Like, dudes shacked up with and chicks, like, 69ing and stuff. And needless to say, I got in a lot of trouble for that. My parents did not find that amusing at all. And my sister was scarred for life.
Now that we're parents, I mean, I find that super amusing that you would do that. But yeah, if my son did it, I'd be like, you filthy fucking animal. You can't do that.
You
but
animal.
But secretly inside, I'd be like, that's pretty goddamn funny. Good job.
I blame society, Rufus, because if I wouldn't have seen Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, I never would have had the idea to do the Best Little Whorehouse in Elkhart.
This is true. Society's fault.
I couldn't see my friend Andy Shelley for like a week, supposedly, but turns out I saw him like the next day. You know how that goes. Remember when you like get grounded and like your parents forget after like 12 hours of trying to enforce it?
Yeah. Remember that.
We used to drive my parents nuts. I lived right across the street from my best friend, like literally across the street. And when we would get grounded from each other, we would go out front and throw like the football across the street. So it wasn't really like being grounded other than the fact that we could not go out of the yard. That was the deal. We couldn't go out of the yard. That was a punishment.
That actually makes it more fun because then you got that whole like you can't step on hot lava thing.
Right.
So.
Trying to stay in the yard. Nowadays, you like to take away a kid's video games. Back then, I had my favorite toy was a stick.
And a wagon wheel. You could push the wagon wheel with
a
stick.
A stick and a brick. I didn't even have anything round. Just had a brick that I had to carve myself into a wheel.
Dude, I remember one time, my dad's a hunter. He's not like a Ted Nugent hunter. He doesn't get up
I don't
all
mind
camouflage.
People that
and,
I don't.
No, he's like a real hunter. But one time during varmint season, and this was when I was like 5 or 6 years old, it was varmint season, right? That's when you can kill like squirrels and raccoons and shit. And he killed a squirrel. and brought it home and did something with it. And in the process, he cut off the feet. And I remember I was like, those feet look cool. Can I have them? And he said, yeah, sure, whatever. So he gave me the squirrel feet, and I put them in a cigar box with, like, other toys I had. And I would play with these little fucking squirrel feet because I could pull the tendons, and they'd go like that. And so
you're creeping
like,
me out.
It was cool, man.
You know what is so weird, dude? That is exactly what I read in Jeffrey Dahmer's biography.
Well, that's what I read, too, when I was 4 and a half.
Right. What up? Jeffrey Dahmer died because somebody stabbed him in a brawl in the jail with a broken broomstick, right? Isn't that how he died?
God damn, I don't know. He should have died some miserable
like
way.
Yeah, that's almost not miserable enough.
Yeah,
is it?
I agree.
Just
no,
think how many serial
so.
Killers are out there. Did you think you actually know a serial killer and you just never crossed your mind? Or someone that you think you know someone that killed someone?
I've thought about that because it always seems like, I mean, really, the super psycho serial killers are just like the normal fucking people. And I don't mean to be cliche, but that seems to be the fact. I mean, whether it's Ed Gein's the worst one of fucking all.
Who the fuck's that?
Or Jeffrey Dahmer. Do what?
Who? Ted Gein? Who the fuck's that?
Ed Gein was in the 50s, and he was the guy that they ended up basing the Texas Chainsaw Massacre off of.
Really?
And he was this,
that's a true story?
Yeah, this, oh, yeah. He was this unassuming guy
that.
In some backwoods little town, and he ended up murdering people, and he would string up women. This is where the Texas Chainsaw Massacre shit comes from. He would skin the women and make suits out of them because he wanted to be
right.
a woman. He would wear their
I've
skin suit
the
to
movie.
Their skin mask, and they found, like, in his house when they finally busted him, like he had made like a 4-post bed with human skulls on it. He
right, he made like a lampshade, right? Didn't he make some lampshades out of skin?
He made lampshades. He had a bowl, his cereal bowl that he had breakfast in was some chick's skull. And he
I
had
don't
a shoebox.
Want to say anything, but I would say this guy gets points for using 100% of the kill.
That's true. It was very. He was a green serial killer. He was
he
into
was
sustainability.
As green as they got.
For sure.
Nothing went to waste, I'm sure. He probably had his own sausage.
Yeah, that's true. He made broth.
Like when somebody kills a deer, they're like, yeah, I got some loin strips, and it looks like about 45 pounds of sausage.
That's right. Jesus. By the way, have you seen old Aunt B from the fucking farm? Where is she at? Sausage is
no,
good.
But try the wonderful dried salami.
Tastes good. Smells like my Gammy's house.
Gammy.
You Gammy?
You're eating her. No, Gammy. Not Gammy. Uncle Rooster's fine.
Uncle Rooster's sausage. That sounds like a real product.
So, Who got married last weekend? I mean, are these people, was it Tooch's kid that got married? Was it Tony Tooch?
No. It was my cousin, who's Charlotte's twin sister's daughter.
So your mom has twin sisters?
My dad has twin sisters.
Oh, they're your dad's sisters?
Yes.
Did not know that. Cool.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, it's rock.
We're finally kind of reaching the big thaw here. I can tell you that I know that it's going to stay warm. You know why? Because when
why?
I went to get the car washed today, there was like 500 people in line. So people were like, damn it, it's going to stay warm now.
That's funny. And when you got out, your car wasn't just a block of ice?
Right. Well, deal is, when I saw the line for the car wash, I said, I will wait and wash my car another day. I did not have 40 minutes to sit in fucking line to wait to get my car washed.
Very smart.
I like to think so. I like to think so. So what have you been watching on TV, Rufus?
Nothing really. I mean, I flip around. The only show that I try to catch is Better Call Saul, but I missed it Monday. Pretty disappointed about
it. Did you really?
Yes,
I can't remember what happened. It's a good show. I like the idea of the show. I'm just trying to get with the flow. You know what I mean? I liked it better when it was on Sunday for some reason, for the 1 week it was on Sunday. I can never remember that it's on Monday.
Yeah, well, I set an alarm on my phone to remind me 15 minutes before it starts. The only show I've ever done that with, by the way. But I was working on that quarter of a song that I sent you and didn't hear
the
alarm.
Which is very good,
so
by the way.
Thank you very much.
You
but
should upload
parents,
that and play it on the show.
I'll finish it first. I'll finish
okay,
it first.
Okay, not trying to rush into anything.
I'm a little starved for lyrics, though. I don't really know.
You just got to, I'd say 18 beers. 18 beers will get the fucking juices flowing for you.
I think so.
I think that's the right number. I'm looking at you, sizing you up. I'm saying 18 beers is where you are at probably your most creative, but maybe you're not most, I'm not sure what I'm trying to say, the best place for you to try to stand up. So sit down and write down the lyrics. Don't try to stand up and do it.
Yeah, it's a
helmet-shaped
curve. At the top of the bell, I'm most creative, but it's shortly
right
thereafter that I become almost illiterate.
What sucks is about beer and shit is that you get to that point and you might have already gone over. You know what I mean? You like
yeah
reach the top of the bell-shaped curve, but you might have should have stopped one beer ago to stay at the top of the curve a little longer.
That's right. But you've been drinking some vodka recently, right? How's that been treating you?
Not good. Just like anything. Makes you have a headache and shit feel like shit the next day. Except with vodka, you feel like shit for 2 days instead of just one day.
Oh, that's disappointing.
What? Were you hoping that it was working out for me?
I'm looking for a new magical pill, man, to make my life tolerable.
Alcohol is not it, dude. Marijuana is the magic pill.
I think I agree with you.
I'm telling you from experience, dude. I tried alcohol, but you know what? Because where I lived before, alcohol was totally acceptable and marijuana was not. So I was obviously drinking more to make life more interesting and give other people an edge because,
yeah,
you know, I felt bad dominating people all the time because I'm just some kind of genius and they are not. So I dulled my
sure
senses to level the playing field. But you know what? Drinking will take a fucking toll on you. I mean, really, makes you fat, makes you lazy. So I decided cut down on the drinking and focus more on the pot smoking. And I like to say it's just worked out better for me.
There's
now, am I promoting pot smoking? Yes, absolutely I'm promoting pot smoking.
As you should. But, yeah, you're right. There is a recovery time for all the benefits you get while drinking booze. It's offset by the recovery time. It takes just feeling, even if you're not hungover, just being exhausted and feeling like shit.
Right.
I mean, I waste half my day just being like, ugh. And then,
I mean, that's
you know, some,
get this alcohol out of my system so I can put some more back in.
That's right.
It's like a treadmill. It is. I mean, trust me, dude. I was thinking the other day, I wonder how much beer I have drank in my I wasn't thinking lifetime, but I was thinking like the last 15 or 20 years. And
well, you drink the big beers.
Right. I do. And everybody, my daughter will tell you that. But I mean, it's got to be enough to fill like 20 Olympic-sized swimming pools or something. Probably like I could probably fill the Coliseum with beer cans.
Probably, yeah.
You think so?
Wow.
I mean, really, I feel bad for not properly recycling. I might have actually made a like some kind of carbon footprint just through my fucking excessive beer drinking.
Dude, I tell you, if they could recycle all the cans that we produce just in the past 5 years. They could fund a mission to Mars easily.
I'm telling you,
they could probably just refund.
They could probably just lay them end to end and get to fucking Mars by climbing them.
You just walk to Mars on the beer cans we drink.
Right. Exactly. I don't know. I don't know what made me think about that, but I was just like, I wonder how much it did. Because I was thinking about my poor liver. You know what I mean? As I'm probably sipping a beer, I'm like, my poor fucking liver's been through the ringer. What have I done to my poor liver? And then I started thinking in terms of, I wonder if I could fill up a house. And I'm like, oh, easily I could fill a fucking house with beer cans that I've drank it. You know what I mean? I almost did. I used to do that monthly.
I mean, if you consider a 16-ounce beer, just estimate how many you drink a day, calculate it by week,
18.
By month, by year, and then you end up suicidally depressed.
Right. I there probably was a number, and I just blocked it out because I knew I was never going to make that much money in my whole life, but I had drank that much beer.
I think the last time I tried to calculate that on a calculator, I just got that E with a plus sign.
Right.
It's like, it doesn't go that high.
Triple upside down E.
The calculator got really hot, and I had to put it down.
Mine broke. It just broke. The screen cracked.
Yes.
I had to do it on an 18-inch monitor, and it filled up with more zeros than it filled up the whole monitor.
I had to start a Kickstarter fund just to calculate it.
You know, people are doing ridiculous shit on Kickstarter. I mean, I thought you had to have, a legitimate deal to do a fucking Kickstarter campaign, but apparently not.
No, you can put up anything as long as you can get, anything.
That's why we need to do a GoFundYou for that thing, because I'm worried about tornado season for you guys next year.
We'll be fine.
Think we can get one big enough for the horses? You know what's funny? If someone would probably donate money, if you were like, I need to build a tornado shelter for my horses, you'd probably get like 50 grand. But if you were like, I need to build a tornado shelter for my family, people would be like, you fucking idiot.
If I like doll up my horses and brush them and put a bow on them, in a heartbeat.
You should marry them. You should do a ceremony and get your horses married to each other.
They're both girls. I could do the first equine lesbian marriage in Arkansas.
Oh my god, dude. We should get one of those answer lawyers and be like, you should email them and say, I want to fucking give my horse power of attorney over me. I think my horse is my father reincarnated.
I'll be like, look, I've given my 6-year-old power of attorney, but he's a fucking hack. He doesn't know what to do. I'd prefer to give it to my horse. Can you help
me? No, this is what you do. You say, you know what? I gave my power of attorney to my 6-year-old, but I really need my 6-year-old or my horse to have power of attorney over my 6-year-old. Right? So, in essence, your horse.
He can count like Mr. Ed with his hooves. So whatever you need, he can do it in binary. Just ask him a question. He's like,
He can write code. You should go look in the stall, make sure they're not writing code on the walls that you don't know about.
He can stomp in Morse code.
They should do one of those things. Now they have those horses paint or whatever. They should do one where a horse just like marks down ones and zeros and they put it into a code and see what it comes out to be.
And my horse, it would come out to be pull the plug.
Oh, it probably would be. It'd probably be fucking some kind of elephant porn or something.
Yeah.
Nothing like some good old. Why don't you ever see that online? Why is there no Mexican elephant show?
The screens aren't big enough yet.
That's kind of like when you see those chicks on Backpage that are like no black dudes. It's kind of how elephants feel for the shows.
That's racist.
I mean, seriously, you got to have some pretty big balls as a prostitute to go ahead and say I don't want to have sex with certain types of men. I mean, it kind of defeats the whole idea of being a prostitute, doesn't it?
Well, I think it shows that you're choosy. You're developing your brand.
I know. But when you're smoking crack, does it matter? Do you have a brand or is crack your brand?
I guarantee you that no matter what those ads say, if you call them and be like, yeah, I'm a big black dude, what's up? They'll be like, yeah, come on over.
Oh, my God. It probably turns out that they'll fuck you for free.
Yeah, that's right. It's more like a secret code.
I think more than likely what it is, this is just my own personal opinion, is that they probably have a big black pimp who likes to fuck them, who's like, I don't want any other big black dude fucking you. Just going to only be little scrawny white dudes with cash.
Hey, well, I got to run. Let's wrap it up.
Oh, Rufus.
Oh, dude, take
care. Hey, another successful show, Hypersloth Happy Hour, March 12th, 2015. Good to be here. Good to have you folks here with us, me and Roof.
Right.
I'm going to play us out. Oh, you want to play us out the song, Rufus?
For the Tuesday show.
Oh, no. Is
absolutely.
No. Are we going to have a little corned beef and cabbage on the show? The luck of the Irish?
Well, I thought, isn't St. Patty's Day the 16th? We can do
it. I thought
17th.
It was the 17th. Well, is it on a Tuesday?
No,
I thought St. Patty's Day was always the 17th. I don't know. I hope it's St. Patrick's Day, though, because I have the perfect shirt.
I always get so drunk on St.
Patrick's
Day, I never remember what day it is.
What, St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
You know, what's the deal is when you're drunk every day, St. Patrick's Day doesn't really mean that much.
Hey, when you're drunk and of Irish descent, every day is St. Patrick's Day.
That's right. I'm like 1/8 Irish.
That's true.
So I'm good to get drunk. I'm the only the mean, only the mean part of me is gonna get drunk on St. Patrick's Day.
Thanks for listening.
All right,
I was Zigzag and Rufus. Later.